You know the next guest here. He's been a journalist in Houston. What's the Score was a program that he co-hosted. You hear about him a lot. You catch him at Dynamo games. He's Bogdan Passat. Bogdan, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you, and happy belated Thanksgiving to you and to your loyal fans. Good to be back.
All right. So, you know, and I discussed this with you ahead of time, I'm trying to reach out to the differing backgrounds of people in our community that are ethnically connected, that have come from other countries, that are big supporters of this game, because I think you and I are in agreement that these are the bases of fans that we have neglected, I think, in the past, and we need to get these authentic soccer fans back. And I want to talk Romanian football with you. So I simply want to start, Bogdan, with, you know, growing up in Romania, where does the first connection with football occur with you?
Young kid, probably 6 or 7 years old. My dad was also a journalist, ended up working for the Romanian television, and he was a reporter for the Steaua Bucharest club. So I would go to various events with him, and clearly when the Ghencea Stadium was inaugurated, I want to say 74 or 76, I was one of the first to go there. And naturally, as a young kid, and him being my my daddy, I easily picked up on becoming a fan of Steaua Bucharest, which back in those days was not the most popular team in Romania.
But it seems to be one of the bigger names now when it comes to, you know, when people think of Romanian football, they think of Steaua Bucharest. But I want you to explain to my listeners the difference in how clubs were formed over there. And I would imagine there was government teams, military teams. Explain to my listeners, because I think this is fascinating.
Well, for anyone who's lived in Eastern Bloc on other countries far out there, they'll understand this. But for anybody else, you're right. It's going to be different. So the government had his hands on everything. And I believe that to be the case in Middle East as well. So every government entity, whether it's a ministry, a factory, or a department, if you will, they all had sponsorship and a great deal of interest in running a soccer team. Right. And it was going for handball and any other athletics of that time. And it was government sponsored. Money was coming out of everybody's paycheck, given back to the clubs and so forth. Steaua was a club that was not necessarily sponsored, but run by the military. Dinamo Bucharest, on the other hand, was the Ministry of Interior. So I think that's how a lot of those teams kind of made their mark back in the day. And like I said, Steaua wasn't that big of a deal until the rivalry with Dinamo started contouring itself in the late 70s, early 80s. And as they say, the rest is history, as the 80s were probably Romania's biggest decade for achievement on European soccer club front.
Steaua Bucharest formed 74 years ago. Pretty remarkable. We're talking to Bogdan Passat here. So how do you keep up with it these days? Because I do know from speaking with you, you watch a lot of games on Romanian TV. You have Romanian TV, but you watch their games regularly and weekly.
Yeah. Well, I'm one of those few fans that I am proud to say that I have a team that I grew up with, I played for, and I still root for. It's a sensitive piece to me, and I know I'm probably going to ruffle some feathers, but I'm not a big fan of anybody who just up and decides, oh, you know what, I'm 6 years old, I'm living in America, I'm going to root for Manchester United. Well, how come you guys don't root for Newcastle? I always find it frustrating how people always pick a winner to root for. But for me, it's just something I stuck with. It's something that I feel that I can root for. I have tangible connections for that club, no different than me rooting for the Houston Dynamo. I'm a Houstonian, and it's my home team. I don't understand how people cannot root for their home teams. I really don't. I think it's just a mental part that I need people maybe to call in and help me out. You can't possibly have the same feeling and emotions towards somebody that's not your, you know what I mean? Your soul team, so to speak.
So are you saying that people that left supporting the Dynamo over the years, and it's been a lot of people, let's face it, even Pat Onstad, the new GM, has talked about mm-hmm. how low the season ticket sales are. do you blame them for not being involved if they feel the organization is not giving enough back to them when it comes to customer service?
No, absolutely. I think it's the right thing to do. I would not want to see some of the uncivilized stuff you see overseas in Eastern Europe with the tifosi and all the fans ganging up and just setting stuff on fire. So listen, this is the civilized way to do it. You don't like something, you don't back it up with your money. I don't think that love and caring for the club goes away. I think you follow it. You know the score. You understand. But I don't blame them. I think in the Dynamo's case, it's unfortunate that after a good half a decade, and that probably lasted all the way into maybe the first couple of years here at BBVA or PNC now, the club was really set for picking up a lot of fans, so to speak. And over the last 8 years, it's been just bleeding fans and everything else. So sign of the times, I think the Dynamo fans have spoken. And, you know, I wish some of us in Eastern Bloc could take a page out of that. But interestingly enough, as a parenthesis here, I will say that not a lot of people go to games anymore live on stadiums.
In Romania,
not for domestic leagues. They typically watch it on TV. TV is taking over.
But so, why haven't they shifted the balance to getting people back out live? I mean, come on, live soccer is where it's at. I mean, that's the sell for the Dynamo.
You know, it's an interesting thing. I don't know why. I think a lot of folks are disappointed, which is we haven't touched on this yet, on the quality of soccer you now have around those countries. And the other one is just, I think it's a new age where the young generation is all about computers, all about instant video. And I just think they lost the soccer may have lost its luster in those countries, right? I mean, the Steaua Dinamo, Steaua Craiova, derbies you still have, they still draw a lot of fans, right? But few and far between.
Bogdan Pasat joining us here, grew up in Romania. You came to the U.S. at what age, Bogdan?
I was 17, 1985, sir.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. Did you know the language before you came?
I spoke English quite fluently. I started, I had it down pat, sir. I probably spoke better English than you do.
Probably better English than I speak. We're talking to Bogdan Pasat here, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. All right, so Steaua Bucharest, Romanian football. Most people will go, when they think of Romanian football, they'll think of a World Cup run and they'll think of one Georgi Hagi. What does he mean to the country of Romania? Because you have told me in the past that there's a bit of a disconnect between him and the soccer federation.
Well, as I alluded earlier to the 80s, I think that's where the golden generation of 94 was formed, clearly a progress or rather a project and a result of a lot of the communism, if you will, machine of the time. You had a lot of money invested in youth and so forth. And Hagi, among with many other players of that generation of his ilk, you remember Dumitrescu and Popescu and Beleo Dedic, you had quite a few stars, Raducioiu. These all came through those particular, I guess, if you wanted, clubs or systems. Romania is very talented in sports. There's no question about it. I just think that ever since the democracy came in following the communist regime fell in the late 90s, I think you've seen a move towards this business becoming more of a hustle for a lot of the owners who managed to amass some, let's just put amass, legally or illegally, some of that monetary power. And I think they use that as a toy in, to some extent. And I think the soccer in Romania suffers right now greatly because of that.
Okay, so can I use one word to sum it up? I think you're talking about corruption.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't know that it's corruption as much as money as it is about power. And I don't want to draw any parallels to anything locally or nationwide here, but it is frustrating. It gets to the point where people are comfortable in the roles they have. Results become secondary. They become dictatorial almost. So a lot of these guys, it's just their toy, if you will, like I mentioned, and they just do everything they can to make some money. And unfortunately, half of them fail. You have clubs almost every year going into bankruptcy or folding. It's just a terrible image. And then you wonder, you know, in retrospect, why is Romania not qualified to a World Cup in the last 21 years or whatever is long?
Right? Bogdan Pasat joining us here. We're talking about football in Romania, growing up in Romania. Who was the first star that you were attracted to outside of Hagi?
I will have to say Angel Iordanescu. He was a number 8 for Puiu Iordanescu. He was the coach. He also plays for the Romanian national team. He was the Romanian coach in 94. A very skilled midfielder. So I always liked him. I liked his dribbling style and so forth. And then along the way, of course, you kind of picked your favorite players based on your favorite team. So it was very hard to like back in those days. But there are quite a few talented players. Hagi, of course, came in strong in the late, make that early 80s. You had Lăcătuș, probably even a bigger emblem for Steaua as a club than Hagi has ever been. There were that whole generation. It's just such a pleasure to talk to and think about. But yeah, I'd say Iordanescu. Puiu. Puiu means a little chick, like that's his diminutive name, if you will.
Talking to Bogdan Pasat. Okay, one of the most famous managers the country's ever produced, and I would have to say he is the most famous manager. You're probably going to correct me when I mention his name. Mircea Lucescu, who is currently in charge of Dinamo Kiev. But this was a guy I remember when I was calling games, weekly from the Italian Serie A, that this was a guy that was involved in the Serie A with Inter Milan.
Well, Lucescu has definitely the most decorated, and there's nobody else that will argue that point. I think there are some legends of the game who coached back in the 60s and 70s. As a matter of fact, one of them, I forgot his name, I'm blanking out. He coached Ajax to quite a few trophies. But Lucescu, by far, a product of Dinamo Bucharest. He was also well-known, much like Hagi in the later days, for developing a lot of players. As a matter of fact, Lucescu is the guy who made Hagi a captain, and I believe he was only 18 or 19 years old, if not even younger, bringing him to the national team. So, yeah, Lucescu has gone on to be by far our pride and joy. And we have quite a few coaches with talent. Unfortunately, they like to go where the money is. So, you know, read that as Arabs, countries, and China.
Talking to Bogdan Pasat, growing up in Romania, we're talking Romanian football here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Okay, I watched Romania the other day, and I'm like, wow, you know, highly technical players. A lot of them look very similar, including Hagi's son, who is out there playing for Romania. They don't qualify for the World Cup. There just seems to be an amalgamation of guys that look the same. Technical, not necessarily very powerful, not necessarily maybe having that strength and power to take it to the next level. Is that a fair assessment in your mind?
It absolutely is. It's hard to disagree with that when you watch the game and you start analyzing it. But, you know, I would come back and argue with you that the Lucescus and the Hagis and the Lăcătuș and the Popescu, they were not big guys. They're not imposing guys. I don't know. I don't know if it's the system in which Romanian players now train, but you see a lot of those that come to the national teams that are called up, they do play their club soccer overseas. So that excuse no longer applies, because you assume once you go overseas and you play in some of the better leagues, your regimen of coaching and training is differently. So that should kind of pay dividends at the national team. So I don't know. I think it's just a style. I think it's just a mentality and a style of game. Romanians typically, as a soccer team, there was a word that they used back in 94, temporization, right? Mm-hmm. They don't attack. They will not have a great positional attacking game. That's not how we are. We're a counterattacking team with a lot of skill that will make you pay. I.e., look at that Argentina game in 94, the famous quarterfinal. That's probably what you're looking at in terms of...
You know, we're talking about almost 30 years ago when you...
Yes, well, I know.
Bogdan Pasat joining us here. All right, so if you're one of the most talented young Romanian soccer players, you're playing in a league that the focus of all the clubs is on money, which you might say is the focus of, that could apply to a lot of leagues around the world. Okay. But if you're one of the more talented guys, how are these guys getting to Europe? Are there a lot of scouts there from the other foreign countries? And is the Romanian player desired?
Well, the interesting part is the Romanian player wasn't desired until about a decade ago when Hagi just was fed up with the system and kind of put his money where his mouth was. So he invested in an academy. He called it Future, Viitoru. And it was based very close to the Black Sea Resort, which now his team eventually kind of merged. But he created his own academy. And just to give you an idea of what these 10 years have done, it may be even more than that. Every national team in Romania right now, every young player, 60% of the core of each team are all Hagi's students and pupils who started at his academy.
Unbelievable.
Just think about that. And don't quote me. You can look it up. So most of them go through him. And the other ones are just talented people that may come, players that may come from another team that's still around. But for the most part, yes, the talent and everything grows through his system, goes through there because he's the only one who believes in that. Everybody else is in the business of buying people cheap. Stop me if you heard this before, mm-hmm. in hopes that the owner at some point will just sell that player for a higher price, which clearly it happens for teams other than Barcelona and Man U. That's how you stay alive. But it's hard to create and have performance, especially at the national team. I'm not even talking about the club team right now, since no Romanian soccer teams have seen even the group stages of any of those leagues in a good 3 years. So it's a little disappointed right now.
Yeah, people will remember Georgi Hagi, obviously, from Real Madrid, Brescia, Barcelona, Galatasaray. I think in Turkey, he still remains a huge legend to many, many people.
Absolutely.
But this is an amazing story. He's fed up with the system. He develops his own youth setup, which includes housing and education,
everything,
all kinds of other
for.
Things, and then ultimately buys or gets a team in the first division where he can funnel these players. He takes the cream of the crop, and correct me if I'm wrong, and then the rest of them get dispersed amongst some of the other teams around the league. Is that fair to say?
So what he has is he has his club, and then you're very close. He started his league because by law you can start in the third division. So when he had enough teams to create a senior team, he kind of brought in a couple of other guys experienced, and then he brought it from the third to the second to the first league, and then 3 or 4 years later, he won the Premier League in Romania. So just think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
Right? So, and then he made the club made money by him selling players first and foremost at first to clubs in Romania. But then they wouldn't know how to treat those players and help their growth. So a lot of those players just sort of plateaued until they were then sold further to the Italian, Turkish, and so forth. So, yeah, Hagi is pretty much right now, in terms of product and results, it's synonymous with Romanian soccer.
He's got the nickname the King, obviously. He's the greatest player ever.
Maradona of the Carpathians.
Yes, the Carpathian Mountains, sir. I do know that.
Carpathian Mountains.
Can't say I've hiked there much, but I do know about them. Farol Constanta Club. That's Hagi's club.
Faru,
tell me a little
correct.
Bit about what that all means, that name.
Faru is just a lighthouse, and it's a legendary club back in the days. Viitoru, which was the future, his stadium was very close to where he's originally, I believe, from that area, Hagi is. And he played his youth in Constanța. So there is something that goes back to the roots for him, right? But this merger came in because Faru was, I believe, not in the first division, and it made sense for them to, it was a fusion, as they like to call it. So now they're in the first division and then clearly middle of the pack for now, but monetarily and everything, I think it made sense for him.
For a country that has had some really proud soccer moments in the World Cup with a man like Hagi who becomes globally known, what's the current sort of state of mind in the country? Is it just out of sight, out of mind now? Where are they when it comes to their pride in their football?
I think there's nothing for them to hang their hopes on. As a matter of fact, right now, there's no sport that I can think where they excel anymore. So soccer is still probably, without a doubt, the most watched and the most loved. But these fanatics, whatever you want to call them, and these guys are just love their sport. They just found other outlets, whether it's some of the local domestic leagues, and those games are very few and far between. There was a good one yesterday. But for the most part, they found something else to do. Listen, it's 2021. You have to fight to keep your audience. It's unfortunate. It's crazy to say that. Anybody who takes this for granted needs to get out of the business. You need to work.
And it's more than sending out tweets and doing social media.
Yeah, this is just, that's a cop out. That's laziness. And none of these guys would have a real job in the real world if they would do what they do nowadays for some of these clubs. And that applies for U.S. and throughout the world. You got to be passionate. You want to identify with the club. You want to suffer when the attendance is not there. You want to sleep, to not sleep at night. That's what you need. You don't need guys that just clock in and punch in. And unfortunately, you know, Romania is much like that. And so is the MLS for a large amount of clubs.
Bogdan, thank you so much. Very enlightening stuff. We appreciate it. Really quick before we let you go, how many Romanians do you think or Romanian connection? I remember Dragos Magna. You know, from my times in the youth community and his running an amateur team, he was a great asset to the Houston soccer community, still is. How many Romanians you think in Houston?
I'd say they're in the thousands. And I think we have some good soccer players here. I think we could probably put a team right now that may draw with the first national team of Romania. That's how I joke with Bogdan Onuț, who you had him on the show here. Another great athlete, a Dinamo Bucharest guy. So you see, we can coexist. But no, a lot of good players here too. A lot of talented. Dragos Manga is for many somewhat of a legend, like you say.
And, absolutely.
But overall, Houston has been great to soccer in general and to Romanians.
Bogdan, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it very much.
Sir, thank you for having me, and good luck the rest of the way. Happy holidays.